Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, we'd ask you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. While you're turning there, I do want to thank the Lord, thank the church for hosting this. If your home church has never hosted one of these, you have to do it to appreciate the work behind it. And on that note, September the 23rd, 24th, and 25th, that's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we will be hosting our annual missions conference, and we invite each of you to come. We do have lodging, but we need to know by the 15th so that we can have everything together. And we do try to emphasize missions on that day, so you'll be very much in prayer for that. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in the very first verse, the Bible says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that we may grow thereby. If so be that you've tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay at Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto you, unto them which he be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed is made, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient whereunto also they are appointed. But ye are chosen, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." I'll be preaching this evening simply, "Are You Saved?" Dear Lord, we thank You and we praise You for these group of churches that You've brought together. Lord, we thank You for Grace Baptist Church for hosting this, for drawing them together and giving them a mind for Your Word. Lord, we pray now that You would bless Your Word, Lord, that You'd stir up our hearts. And Lord, if one of yours here that is lost, Lord, we pray even now that You would draw them nigh to You, and we'd be faithful to give You the praise and the glory and the honor for it all, for it is in Christ's name that we do pray. Amen. Now, some maybe so familiar verses of Scripture and some ideas that by the inspiration of the Lord God, Peter lays out for us concerning our position and our responsibilities in Christ. Now, He did not save you, if you are in fact saved, just simply to warm a pew somewhere and abide there and never do anything honoring to God, never lifting Him up in any way at all. I want you to see your first measure in chapter 2, verse 2, excuse me, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word." Now, if you're unsure about your redemption and you're unsure about your salvation, how do you feel about this blessed old book? How do you feel? How are you drawn to it? Or is it boring words on a page? Now, I find that many times among lost church members, you can't get them here with a stick of dynamite, and when you do get them here, they don't pay attention to anything that's being said. That is a good indication that you don't have what you think you might, is your attitude to this wonderful book that contains the Word of God. Amen. Verse 5, he says, "You are as lively stones, living, moving. Now you think about a living stone, it's almost impossible if we think about it. Where we come from, back in Tennessee, all around our county is huge limestone deposits. They almost look like mountains, and they're hard and they're never movable. I went back home, my mother died a few months ago, and I just wanted to go back where I was raised up. It's not far, but I hadn't been there a long time, and I noticed the limestones haven't changed. I haven't lived in that area for 35 years, and the limestone is not changed. You know why? They're not living. And you need to ask yourself, am I living? Do you act and present the same way you always have? Well, maybe you don't have what you think you do. Because a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that is genuine and true will change you. It will make you living. It'll make you lifted up. And if you don't have that, my dear friend, I would make my calling and election sure. I love that verse. I quote it to my home church many, many times. And they say it's my favorite verse. I don't know about that. But I will warn you about this. Make your calling and election sure. Now, I can't always get in my brain how you make your election sure, because that's an act of the Almighty, but the call is an act of the Almighty too. Now, where we live back home, a brother of mine who lives over in Ohio, a preacher brother, says it's the belt buckle of the Bible Belt, because you can't get around Stewart County without finding a church somewhere. And I use that term very loosely, but I want you to see, with all that going on, the gospel is confused. Not that our dear Savior wants it that way, but it is confused. Somebody was saying about the tracks back here in the entrance of this meeting hall. I didn't get to grab them. I was a little sleepy after the morning services, so I took me a nap, but I wanted to look at one, because it can almost predict what is there. Now, y'all all remember the Romans Road. It came out of Chattanooga, Tennessee. It makes me very ashamed. Tennessee Baptist Temple in Chattanooga, Tennessee. The Romans Road. That's a piece of trash. It's no truth in it whatsoever. But let me tell you this. The Southern Baptists have reduced it down even more. Now it's ABC. Accept, you're a sinner. Listen, I don't care if you accept it or not. You're a sinner. Your condition here is one of two this evening. Either you're a saved sinner, or, my dear friend, you're a lost sinner. And whether you accept that or not makes no difference. This book answers that perfectly. And then they say, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That may be good advice, but listen, it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. He's high on the throne, high and lifted up, and His position is unchanging whether you believe it or not. And then lastly, confess your sins. Not a bad idea, but it'll do you no good if you're not saved. That's Catholicism. If you're not saved and you just always, you know, going to the preacher and saying, well, I did this and I did that. Listen, dear friend, it will do you no good. It will be no help to you in the day of judgment. Now, notice in verse 7. Unto you, therefore, which believe, He is precious. That's a hallmark of a saved, redeemed person. The Lord Jesus Christ is precious. Without Him, there would be no hope. Without His blood on the cross of Calvary, listen, we would all be damned to hell already. Right. But blessed be the name of the Lord on that very same cross. He completed a work that no man could ever do. And He made redemption and paid the penalty of sin for His people. And we need that today. We need some understanding of that. Unto you, therefore, which believe, He is precious. But unto them that which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is the made head of the corner. Now, why is grace offensive to people? Well, I tell you this because it puts salvation in the hands of the Almighty and not in the hands of mankind. That's why it's offensive. But isn't it a wonderful, blessed thing this evening that the Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, Him in the flesh, gave His life for some, is what the Scriptures say. You know, the Bible never says He did it for all. Even His prediction in the book of Isaiah says it's some. It's some. And so we find then that should make it even the more precious to those of us that understand and that He saved. Hey, He didn't do this for everyone. And you know what? He didn't have to do it for me. But by His grace and love and mercy, He did so. Those of you that are saved, you ought to shout, every one of you, how good God has been to you, just simply saving your never dying soul. People ought to be able to rejoice in that. And if you can't rejoice in that, again, make your calling and election sure. Verse 9, the Bible says, "But ye," meaning the redeemed, the elect, the saved, "but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people." Now, I could really get off on that peculiar people, but that's not my purpose for tonight. That's not my text for tonight. But listen, we ought to be the strangest people and make people's heads turn and say, what's wrong with that idiot if we are to be the people that God designed us to be? A peculiar people, a strange, a different people. That's what redemption will do to the saved. And He says, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you. How much of you praise the Lord? I've enjoyed the singing, and because I'm getting old now, I'll agree with the other brother. These young people have blessed my heart. It gives me a little hope for the days that are ahead, because listen, it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. And if my generation dies off, listen, the very perpetuity promise of the church, I know some will be left here to continue on. And it's a great and wonderful blessing. But I want you to see that Peter says here that we should show forth His praise. Now, I think that's an unusual statement, because when the church is called to order, except for singing, I believe the women ought to be silent. Right. I think that's what the Scriptures teach. Right. Yeah. But you know what? The Bible also says, and listen, in the sovereign grace church, you might get stoned for this, but you know what the Bible said? I would that the men everywhere lift holy hands. How many times have you seen that? I mean, so how can we praise the Lord? And more importantly than that, do you desire to praise the Lord? Is that something that, because you know what, for the redeemed, I believe that's an inbuilt desire that is never fulfilled this side of eternity. Even if it's just knocking on the door to your neighbor and say, look, I'd love to tell you what Jesus did for me. That's what the redeemed do. Now notice the end of the verse, who have called you out of darkness. Now dear friend, if you're lost and the Lord hasn't spoken to you, I can't do one thing to help you but present the gospel. Those that are you are saved, think back before the Lord saved you and how dark and how elusive and how far away the Lord God of heaven seemed to be to you. And you know what? Dark even to the need of redemption. Now, I don't know about you, but again, we live in the South, and it's pretty common down there for people to say they know Jesus when they don't. True. I've seen that a whole lot. Yes. As an 8-year-old boy, I made such a profession. You know what it was? Just that, just a profession. I can say I'm 6 feet tall, but it don't make it so, does it? I used to be 5'10", and now I'm 5'9". I'm going the other way now. You see what I'm saying? Just because you make a statement about spiritual things, it does not make it so. And you know what? I see a wary thing in the days ahead. And I look at my daughters and praise God, my sons have been saved. Two of them have been saved. And I praise the Lord for it. But this is what concerns me about religion. Now, I understand fully, train your children up in the way they should go. And when they are old, they will not depart from that. And I cling to it daily. But you know, my children know exactly what to say.
Right.
They've literally been around it their whole life.
Yes.
I don't remember myself the first time I was in church. I literally don't. We just went. That's the way it was.
Right. Yeah.
But that didn't make me redeemed.
Right.
That didn't make me one of the Lord's. So sometimes the very best of the best are the ones that get confused. They're the ones that think they have something when they don't. They're five pointers, sharpened and ready, even six. You know, back home we have a sixth one. It's two lips, the last one is sovereignty. Which ain't a bad way to think about it, is it? But see, the truth is that don't make you redeemed.
True.
It don't make you one of His. I love good, sound Bible doctrine. But dear friend, the reality, I don't care how sound you are, it don't make you saved.
True.
Making a profession doesn't make you saved. There's no element of man in true salvation. I want to read something with you very quickly in the Gospel of John. Very familiar verses of Scripture. A lot of times it's taken out of text. But the Gospel of John chapter 3, in the very first verse, you know that Nicodemus comes at night. Nicodemus is a religious man. Nicodemus is a ruler in the temple. He knew their old book inside and out, and he could quote it, and he could use it. He was very, very religious. But I want you to see the Lord Jesus Christ brings him to his knees with one statement. You must be born again.
Amen.
Talk about taking the wind out of your sails. How are you going to be born again? Isn't that just as crazy that a rock is living? You know, Nicodemus didn't get it either. He said, how can I be born when I'm old? Can I go the second time in my mother's womb? Well, let me say, first of all, you can't. Nicodemus could not. And the real story there is this. You have no ability. None whatsoever. That was the gist of the story to Nicodemus. You're a good old Jew, and you know the law forward and backward, but what you need to do is be born again. You know, in my own experience, and I can tell you this, it wasn't planned that way. I'm kind of a Tennessee hick, but I was born in my great-grandmother's house on December the 19th, 1968. And you know what? I didn't talk to mother and daddy and say, hey, this is the birthday that I want, and if it works out for you, I'd like to be born in grandma's house. No, no, no. That was orchestrated by God.
Amen.
And so is salvation.
Amen.
Nothing to do with it. Nothing to contribute. And I guarantee you, if we contribute something, we would foul it up. It would be a mess. Go to Romans chapter 8 very quickly. Romans chapter 8. Verses, just for time's sake, we'll just do verses 15 through 18. Romans chapter 8, verses 15 through 18. The Bible says, speaking of redemption, speaking of salvation, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, Don and I have experienced adoptions. It's a loving, blessed time. But you know what? We're in control. Very different than a natural birth. I love my adopted children equally, and I don't even tell you which ones they are. But, again, those little children that are adopted are not in control, are they? And so the very same premise works. He's saying, you can call me God by adoption. You can call me God by the Spirit. Verse 17, that if children, not just if you truly are, and if children, then joint heirs of God, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that you suffer with Him. Now, this is one people don't like, but again, if you want to make your calling election sure this evening, you ask yourself, have you suffered for Christ? And I dare say, most of us have suffered little or none. Little or none. So that makes it hard to compare, does it not? Look in Fox's Book of Martyrs. Listen, we've not suffered yet. But I'll tell you this, you can give her a try, because it's how we did. I do not intend to shut New Testament Baptist Church down because the government says there's a virus out there that's dangerous. I'm just not going to do it. You know what? You give them that much, they'll take some more. I'll guarantee you, you know what? They come and put a padlock on the door. We can meet at the house. And Don and I have an old rundown barn up on the hill behind the house. Or we can go and meet under an oak tree. But we're going to meet. And that's what we need to do. So do you have that spirit about you? Irregardless of outcome, you're going to serve the Lord. That's a hallmark of redemption. That's a hallmark for salvation. Verse 18, for I reckon, told you, you know, this is good southern speech down here. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worth to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. He made that assessment. Is the glory ever revealed in you? That's a hard thing to answer, is it not? Well, look at yourself. Do you speak of the things of Christ? And I may be getting in deep water, but I'll just say it because I believe it. I'll give you an example. And then I'm going to say a couple of more things and we'll quit. I was saved, as I told you about, as a 12-year-old boy. But I wasn't discipled. I think that's the biggest lacking of the Lord's true churches is not discipling young believers. I knew nothing about this blessed old book. In high school, I took a very much of an attraction to a young lady. She's sitting there with us. That's been 35 years ago now, when we were seniors in high school. And so I asked her out. I know we were wicked. We made our children court, but we dated. And it's called, we didn't know no better. And so I remember arriving at her house. And you'll have to meet my father-in-law. It's hard to believe now because he's so small. But he weighed about 300 pounds and his arms were like this. And so I pull in my big 72 Ford LTD that could set 8 people comfortably. And I had a cigarette in my mouth. And immediately when I saw him, I just threw my cigarette back in. I didn't care if it burned up the car or not. And had hair down to about right here. And if I had some clippers with me, I would have done something. So got up to the porch and I said, hello. Hello, Mr. Page. And most of the Pages back home are not like my father-in-law. They're big as my father-in-law, but they're not like him. And there's many of them. Some just have initials, R-E and E-L. I guess they started identifying them with just numbers and letters, because there's so many of them. And all of them I knew were pretty party-hardy people. So I thought I was going into the same situation. And there he said, "Who are you?" "I'm Larry Lafferty." "I ain't never heard of no Lafferty's." And they are rare. My dad was a soldier, so we're the only ones. And I got real nervous then. And I said, "Well, my mother's an outlaw." And that was her maiden name. But I think he thought I meant that she was a criminal. And then finally I said, "Do you know Macon Outlaw?" Which is my uncle. And he knew Macon. Everybody knows Macon. So finally got out the door, didn't burn my car up, and we were on our way. But you see, I knew I wasn't seen. I knew what I was presenting like. And you know what? You do too.
That's right.
You know how you're presenting.
Yeah.
See, when somebody read to me in this blessed old book that it's a shame for a man to have long hair, I got rid of it. Now, I'm not going to get on any toes, but if it's a shame for a man to have it, it must be a shame for a woman not to have it. And so we see then that there are fruits, meats for repentance. We see things that accompany salvation. We see things that show us who we are. And you know, don't go looking for other people's fruit. Look at your own.
Yeah.
Gospel of Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. We're talking about lost folks. The Lord Jesus Christ in His supposed Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Pretty direct, isn't it? Kind of washes the whole sinner's prayer deal down the drain, don't it? You know what? There are good preachers that speak the name of Jesus that years later they say, "I don't have anything." I've known them. I had a good pastor's wife, best pastor I ever had, going on to be with the Lord now, Gordon Downs. His wife, dear woman, but she was strange. If you didn't have to ask her what she thought, she'd tell you anyway. And she got real sick over in the hospital at Paducah. And she grabbed one of the sisters in our church arm and said, "I'm lost, Millie." And Millie thought that she was just, you know, because her liver enzymes was off the chart. And she thought that she was just confused. And she said, no, I'm with you, Millie. I'm lost." And the Lord saved her. See, that's the difference. You know how redeemed people become redeemed? God gives them holy knowledge of their situation.
Yes.
Without that, you have nothing. Think about the young man that was on to his grave, and the Lord just came by and stopped everything and raised him up from the dead. Now you read that text when you get home. Not even his mother interceded on his behalf. He was good as gone. But the Lord Jesus stopped the show, took him by the hand and raised him up. That's redemption, dear friend. That's real salvation. You're dead this evening. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're dead. Now let me read a couple of things for you in the book of Revelation. And I am going to strike on the fearfulness of hell, because, dear friend, if you're not saved, that's where you're bound to, even as I speak, the reality of hell. Revelation 19 and verse 20, the Bible says this, and the beast, that means the false prophet of the revelation, the one that takes over, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet, the forerunner, filthy John the Baptist. Those two will come together and wrought miracles before him, in which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, them that worshipped his image, meaning an idol. Those were cast into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Now listen, dear friend, we don't lose anything in the translation there. A lake of fire is a living lake of fire. If you're lost, dear friend, that's where you're headed, is a literal lake of fire. Now, if any of y'all get to come down to Tennessee and see our home place down there, Dover is located between two big rivers, the Cumberland River and the Tennessee River. I'll take you to show them both. But listen, if you jump off either bridge into the middle of that river, you're not coming back. Because two things: the jump is a long, long way down, and the river current will sweep you away before you know it. That's hell. Anybody ever saw a burn victim? I think one of the other brothers was preaching on that as a registered nurse. I've seen lots and lots of horrible burns. We took care of a patient in home health, and sincerely, she was, just before the burn, she was not right. Very kind lady. She was just a little bit slow. And they lived in a very nice home, but it wasn't complete. And they just lived in the basement portion. The only source they had of heat was a space gas heater. And it was so cold that winter. It was one of the coldest winters I'd ever seen. And she backed up to the space heater and caught her britches on fire. And she burned to the waist up. And it was our assignment to change those dressings. And she would say, "Larry, please don't do it." She didn't understand the necessity to keep those wounds clean. Because again, she wasn't exactly right. And she would beg me, "Please, please don't do it." And then when I took off the dresses, it literally, I felt sorry for the girl. It would take the burn with us. That's a glimpse of hell. Nothing what hell contains. But that dear woman just screaming in agony. And we would premedicate her. We didn't go in there and just do it because. But that kind of excruciating pain is not touched by, and we used liquid morphine, which is about as strong as you can get. It did nothing. And we'd have to do that to get the job done. Her screaming, bleeding, wanting it to stop. Now thank God, she healed up. We watched her legs become like new. But dear friend, hell's not going to be like that. And the burning doesn't stop. I remember when she told me when it first happened, she realized her britches was on fire. And she said, "Larry, I just couldn't get them off. I tried and tried, and finally her husband rolled her in the bathtub and got the fire out. I just couldn't do it." Dear friend, if you lost, there's nothing you can do. That fire, the Bible says the last place, and I think they're saying different places, is hell, which exists now, and the lake of fire, which will come later. There's no getting away from it. Misery and pain. Now, I understand we're good, sovereign, grace Baptists, but I also know this. The Bible says very clearly, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Amen. Look for the knowledge of your sin. Pray. Parents, pray for your children. Pray for your lost people. My mother died 5 months ago today. She had made a profession, and I hope she was saved. A Baptist preacher was preaching when she was saved, which really don't mean anything. But at 85, she went out into eternity. Long, good life, but she still went out. And dear friend, you will too.